You are listening to the Plastic Surgery Revolution with Dr. Stephen Davis, the one and only podcast that discusses modern plastic surgery and leaves you looking great and feeling better.
Welcome, everyone, to the Plastic Surgery Revolution. I'm your host, Dr. Stephen Davis, board-certified plastic surgeon. Well, you all are in for a huge treat today because we happen to have a phenomenal double board certified facial plastic surgeon out of New York who has written a book that I think all of you would be really, really, really interested in reading. And I want to introduce him. This is Dr. James Murata. And boy, does he have an unbelievable pedigree. This is a guy that went to Columbia University. And then he ended up doing his residency in head and neck surgery and his fellowship in facial plastics at Yale. So this is somebody that really knows this specialty very, very well. He's been practicing for about 15 years, but the book that he's just written is You're Not a Vanity Purchase, Why You Shouldn't Feel Bad About Looking Good. And I got to tell you, I read the book, and I think it's fabulous. Hi, Dr. Murata. James, how you doing?
Hi, Dr. Davis. Steve, thank you so much for having me on your show. You know what? I wasn't a fan before, but I'm already a fan of this podcast. So I will definitely be listening from now on.
Oh, that's great. Listen, I got to start in with asking you the very first thing, because I really, you know, delved into the book, and I really looked everything up about you, too. Is it true that you wanted to go to medical school because you wanted to be a psychiatrist?
That was my initial thought. I had done my 4 years at Columbia, and I had my undergrad degree, and I was an economics and philosophy major. I didn't know where I was going next. So I applied for a fellowship abroad, and I matched with a program called the Congress Bundestag program, which was a joint fellowship sponsored by the German and the U.S. Congress.
Oh.
And so about 60 students every year go, you know, to Germany, and 60 students come to the U.S. and there's an exchange.
Yeah.
And you get matched with, you know, a guest family, and you live in Germany for a year. So I did that kind of as a time or opportunity to do some soul searching and try to figure out what I wanted to do with the rest of my life after I graduated from Columbia. So I ended up in, of all places, just volunteering at a psychiatric hospital. And I just had a, you know, just hit me like a lightning bolt one day. I said, gee, I always loved science. You have the opportunity to use your mind to help people who are in desperate need of help. You know, I would sit there in the on the psych ward, and I would just play chess with somebody for a couple hours, and that would be like the highlight of their day. You know, I'm like, wow, if it's that easy being a doctor, you know, sign me up. You know, I had little to no idea what I got myself into at that point. But, you know, I felt like mental illness was just something so devastating for people, and went back to the States and then started doing my post-bac at Columbia to go to medical school, you know, for that reason.
Wow. I think that is fantastic. And, you know, as a plastic surgeon, I understand exactly what that book that you wrote was all about, because when patients come in and they do feel guilty sometimes that they're going to do something for themselves, this becomes a psychological discussion with them a lot of times. And boy, you know, you were prepared for that whole type of a conversation with you know, dealing with these kind of mental, you know, unstable patients, as well as stable patients that just view themselves in a different way. So I think it's very, very fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the book was born out of my, you know, experience with patients, just hearing it over and over again. Even sometimes in the middle of treatment, I'll be in the middle of injecting, you know, some Botox and fillers. And, you know, one of my patients, a very sweet elderly lady, said, you know, doctor, why do I do this to myself? Why do I care? I'm 80 years old. Who's looking at me, doc? Why do I do this? And so I just started to think to myself, and that's obviously one of many patients over the last 15 years that I've heard same kind of guilt, some kind of remorse. I've heard the guilting from family members. I had a patient who had a facial rejuvenation surgery and endoscopic brow lift, the whole nine yards, and her family just put her through hell, before, during, and after the surgery. And her family said, "Why are you going to do this? You're going to come out looking distorted. You're going to look like a freak." They made her, basically have a near nervous breakdown before the surgery.
Yeah.
And after the surgery, they were equally not as supportive because, of course, you're swollen and your face is distorted. Sure. And of course, they're now echoing all of her worst nightmares. What did you do to yourself? Oh my God, you destroyed your face. You're going to look like a freak for the rest of you. I mean, and this woman's telling me this and sobbing, literally sobbing while she's telling me this.
I know.
And as a physician, of course, my heart was breaking for her, but you realize that, what on the other side people go through and what patients go through dealing with their families, dealing with their friends, telling them don't do it. The guilt that they have themselves, either, whether it's financial guilt, whether it's, just emotional guilt. Am I vain? These questions I just started swirling around in my head and said, wow, well, what does motivate somebody to go to the length of allowing me to basically cut their face off and put it back on? I mean, there must be some very strong drive for people to present themselves to the world beyond what people call vanity. It's got to be,
Was that Valerie's story? Was that the beginning of the book where you really go into Valerie's story, or is that just another patient too?
That was another patient.
Well, yeah. I can tell you, the book is fantastic. And I want to ask you about a couple of chapters because I know that these few things I'm about to say resonate very, very, very highly in my discussions with patients too. So the first one is something that you actually put in quotes, and I think it was in chapter 7, where you're saying why aging gracefully doesn't always mean naturally. Mm-hmm. I think that's genius, by the way, because I want to talk about that. And then within that, one of the things that you're talking about is that medicine at its very core isn't about, it's all about altering the natural course of events. And when you write about that, and we can delve into that a little bit, it's actually 100% true in that concept. And the last part of this, so that everybody's listening, I can put like a little cap on it, is if you define natural as letting nature have its way, then that's basically aging gracefully is not synonymous with letting yourself go and just letting nature just wreak havoc on you and taking its course. So let's talk a little bit about that, because I do think at the heart of plastic surgery, that's what a lot of people are struggling with, especially people that want to be, eating organic foods and they want to be natural and everything else. They may start to think that maybe this is just like, doing something that you're not supposed to be doing because, God made you a certain way. And I know you hit into that in the book as well. So, James, give me a little bit of your insight into this.
Yeah, I mean, I think you did a great, really summary of that piece, and it's really about, I think guilt also pervades that part of it. Boy, I'm messing with Mother Nature, and I'm going to pay. You shouldn't fool Mother Nature. You shouldn't mess with Mother Nature. You need to just, and then every few years or so, you have a celebrity who is full bore into plastic surgery or cosmetic interventions, denounce it all of a sudden and say, okay, right, well, now I'm going natural. Now I'm going to age gracefully. And so that kind of dichotomy that sets up is kind of odd in my mind. Because as you said, and as I stated in the book, we really do intervene in all kinds of ways with medicines. And the fact that something's quote unquote natural does not mean that it can't be somewhat dangerous and even potentially deadly in certain circumstances. I mean, I mentioned some of the natural poisons that basically with one little whiff or taste could kill you in a millisecond. So people pour compounds into their body. I love that people come in with a list of the 20 herbal supplements they're on.
True.
You know, and who knows what that concoction, you might know what saw palmetto in and of itself does or ginseng does, but when you mix them all together, is there any been studies knowing what it's like being on all those things long term? Right. You know?
Well, you know, and I think the thing that I took away from this being a plastic surgeon is that when people want to talk about aging gracefully, and I talk about this a lot with my patients and trying to look as natural as possible, that to me is a totally different discussion than saying, I don't want to intervene with what nature has in store for me. Because you know as well as I do, you can inject someone's lips, inject someone's face, or do a wonderful facelift on someone. I did a wonderful facelift on this woman last Friday, and next day I see her postoperatively, and her daughter brought her into the office. And when I took apart the bandages, the first thing out of her daughter's mouth was, oh my God, you look just like you, but like you look really young. Right. And it's, you know, it was like a shock to her that she didn't look like somebody hit her over the head with a baseball bat or did something that really made her look odd, or her mouth was all like, because, so I think at the end of the day, especially now, and I want to ask you about this with the whole, you know, pandemic that's going on, I think more and more people are really interested in self-care, but in self-care, they're not looking to be overdone anymore. I think we passed by that. I know I've gone through that stage where patients have wanted to come in and have gigantic breast implants, or they wanted to have their lips made really, really gigantically large. And I can tell you, the number of patients that are coming in to look overdone has really calmed down a lot. And I think a lot of it has to do with just people recognizing what's going on in the world. And if they want to do something to make themselves feel better, that's one thing. But to really rub it in people's faces or to really go overboard may start to be not in vogue anymore. What do you think about that?
I totally agree. I mean, I think, natural means preserving your facial identity or your body's identity, looking like the person that you went into, but just better.
Yeah.
Just younger and age appropriate as well. I mean, I think people are saying, now, don't get me wrong. I still have patients say, doc, pull my face as tight as you possibly can or make my lips 10 times the size make them look like somebody ran them over with their tires.
Right.
But I would agree with you on the whole. People are tending towards, which I appreciate because that's my aesthetic. And I've turned down a lot of patients who wanted me to do something that was just, I thought, overboard or not in their best interests, and I thought they would regret ultimately.
I agree, and I think the thing is, and I guess the reason why I thought the book was so important for people that are interested in plastic surgery, even if they had it already or if they're thinking about having it, is that it really does open up a feeling about how you feel about yourself is really going to portray how you are to the rest of the world and how you are at your job and how you are in the community and as a parent or whatever. And I think you really do an excellent job at really getting into that, because once, I guess people kind of inherently think about that, but like you said, there's no reason for you to really feel guilty about trying to do the best you can to feel really good about yourself, because that's going to be the best portrayal of yourself out in the community, out in the world. And if something like plastic surgery, even if it's something as simple as, patients just getting a new lipstick or getting something to just make them feel better about themselves, not even surgical, not even anything to do with, you know, aesthetic medicine, just doing something that makes them feel better about themselves. Obviously, that's going to make a huge difference in how they are, you know, as the person walking around the world. So I think you do a great job with that.
Yeah. And it's just undeniable part of human interaction, you know, even beyond, you know, the reason I many of the reasons I give for not feeling the guilt is that to deny it's part of the way we communicate as human beings is really to ignore reality and millions of years of evolution. Our brains are dedicated towards visual processing. We sit there, analyze people's faces and the data that the face or body gives us in the blink of an eye. It's subconscious, subliminal, and it vastly influences how we interact with others, how we feel about ourselves. I mean, think about it. You get a good haircut, you look in the mirror, and you say, wow, I feel pretty good today. And, you know, you walk around with your chest puffed out, and you know, you're a little lighter in the loafers that day, you know. But on days where you know you're tired and you haven't slept well and you don't look as good, you don't have that confidence. And there's no people kind of draw the line between, you know, like this, create this demarcation between looking or presenting yourself, the physical portion, and the spiritual or, you know, portion of communication. And there's no such thing as human beings. It's all intertwined and mixed together.
Absolutely.
You know, we evolved that way. We're born as children, as babies that way.
And you mentioned that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mentioned it in the book.
Yeah, I mentioned that in the book that, you know, babies are attracted to more to attractive faces, and there's sound biological and evolutionary reasons why these things may be that we're more attracted to attractive people. You know, attractive people are healthier, appear healthier, they have healthier genes. We want to associate with them. They and conversely, when you have a physical flaw or something that's detracting from your appearance, people interpret that negatively, and there's no real escaping that. So to feel bad about your choice to present yourself as good as you can to the world makes no sense.
And I think at the end of the day, that's really one of the things that I took away from the book, and that I think as plastic surgeons, we try to think about all the time, is that regardless of what someone's sense of being attractive may be, or what somebody's attracted to more than others, it's more about how you see yourself in the mirror, how you see yourself every day. So like, you may choose a clothing attire that, you know, for you, you love, and you love the way you look in it. Other people may look at it and go, oh my God, the guy looks, you know, crazy wearing that. But it's the same idea in that you really just want to feel good about yourself. And, you know, if something like getting your lips injected or getting an eyelid lift or getting, you know, any of these things is going to do that for you, I think that's where you really need to say, I'm going to feel better about myself. And just like your book says, you shouldn't feel bad about trying to look good. So I think that really it hits it right on the head. And James, I want you to just go into the last part of the book where you really do talk about having that that peer group that can really, you know, get involved with this kind of a thing. Just if you could explain that to everyone, I think that would be really interesting.
Yeah, we started a peer group for patients on a Facebook group. And if you go to my website, it's www.muradamd.com. It'll give you instructions on how to join the Facebook group. And it's actually in the book as well. And it's just a forum, you know, forum for patients to share their stories. If they've gone through a situation where they struggled with guilt or the feeling of vanity around their plastic surgery, or they're struggling with it now in their decision to pursue plastic surgery, or they just need some advice from their patients and peers or from us. It's just a great place to share those stories.
Well, I really want to thank you so much for talking with me today. This is really fantastic. And for everyone that was listening, the name of the book again is You're Not a Vanity Purchase. Why You Shouldn't Feel Bad About Looking Good. And it's by Dr. James Murata. And Dr. Murata, thank you so much for being on this podcast with me. I really think it's a fabulous book. And the topic, I think, is just so perfect for this day and age. And I just think you hit so many really interesting things going through all historical type stuff and just psychological type things. It was really, really a fascinating read.
Great. Thank you so much, Dr. Davis. I really appreciate it. Loved spending some time with you and getting to know you a little bit better. Thank you for being so gracious and kind with your words. And I'm glad you enjoyed the book.
Very much so. Thank you, everyone. You've been listening to The Plastic Surgery Revolution. I'm your host, Dr. Stephen Davis, and I'll be speaking with you again next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to The Plastic Surgery Revolution with Dr. Stephen Davis. Please subscribe to our show in iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or whatever app you use to listen to podcasts. Keep listening, looking great, and feeling better.